getting all the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge, so we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Tuesday. You know when the days just go by so quickly? It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and it's the 23rd of June. It's a hot day today. Today we have social advocate Richard Johnson in studio. I'm going to ask him some tough questions about his advocacy and how he became an advocate. But Richard actually is one of the sponsors of the show. He actually have a commercial running with me right now. I want to say I appreciate him for that as we continue our program. But you have a pop-up coming up soon, and I see this advertisement has been running on my show for a while now. But what is your pop-up for exactly?
So thank you, Siri Nuri, for being here and for being on the guide. And good morning to your audience. So what it is the Daniel Wesson Fish Fry Festival that we would have commenced about 3 years ago. You know, last year it was one of our biggest festival where we bring the rich food, the rich culture, the conch salad, the pickle conch, the bobby salad, fried fish, pancake, lobster and pancake, West End conch conch fritters, two Nassau shores. We were at Montague last year. We're looking to go back this year. As you know, I was very heavily in part of the last of the election gone, so I was occupied, fully occupied. And so I now have free time on my hand, and we're kicking off to the big day. So the big day will be set for October, which is the holiday weekend. So working on the details now, but we actually have a kickoff event, a mini event that is scheduled for July the 10th. And as you know, July the 10th is our independence. We will be at the garden. It's located on Blue Road and Zion Boulevard next to Jordan Princeville. To always ask about parking. Parking, I would have asked the school security nicely so we could use that area for parking. They would have been able to oblige me on that. And so it's us kicking it off, getting back to what we normally do, getting back to basics, doing a temperature check, because people missed it. People missed the fried fish and the panny cake, and they're always talking about the pickle conch and all of that. So we say, you know what, let's get started. It's a part of our promotion to the big day in October. A lot of Grand Bahamians are here in Nassau, living in Nassau, and we have two vendors out of West End who will be here for that, who also sell on a regular in West End, Grand Bahama. As you know, I'm born in West End, Grand Bahama, raised and born. And so it's our thing. It's called the Down West End Fresh Rye Festival.
Good. And you're having a big event in October. I assume you can be coming back to do some promotion.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I tell people, you know, if you want people to know what's happening or what's going on in terms of when you're in the business, you have to spend money for marketing, and you have to promote, and you have to talk about what you're doing, because again, you want it out there. I mean, we have different platforms. We have radio, we have TV, we have social media platforms. But I always believe that people like different things. There are people who don't do social media, but people just do radio, vice versa. And so we try to cover as much public relations avenue as possible so we can get our brand out and so we can get out the message. And so definitely we'll be doing a lot of business moving forward as we continue on this road of advertising the Down and West and Fish Fry Festival.
So let's talk with you and Grand Bahama. That's what I invited you about, right? Now, when I first was introduced to this persona, Facts and Issues persona, it was a Grand Bahama person. And all of a sudden you come to Nassau and you became all kind of political, right? But you were an advocate. And I want to understand, how did you become an advocate?
Mm-hmm.
So the person where you are now?
So I can tell you, being from Grand Bahama, I came here in 2010. I was here from 2010, off and on. I was in Bimini for a bit, but I came back here. And I always was the person, Siri, who always stand up for what is right. I always believe that if I was taken advantage of or my rights was infringed, I will always stand up against it. Who you were, persons would have seen the leadership capabilities in me on matters. Even in the workplace, I stand up against the boss when I felt as if that he was infringing on my rights as a worker. And that's what really started the push when we talked about having unions on the job, in the workplace, where I worked various places in the past. I won't call their names. But that's what really started my push. Then I became heavily involved in politics. As you know, I was a former vice chairman of the Free National Movement. I started out as a youth officer, TYA executive. And so getting involved in politics, being close to government, people reaching out to you, either they feel you are connected to individuals or you get things done. And that's what really started my journey and my fight to advocate for the downtrodden, for the less fortunate, for those who are being marginalized or being taken advantage of. And so I've always continued that fight, even today. As I support this government, I will continue to stand up for the Bahamian people. I've been doing it for the last several years, and nothing's going to change me for doing that moving forward.
You're also a social media personality. How did you infuse your advocacyism with social media?
So that was inspired, honestly, by my uncle. He's Cecil Green, or the Bimini Cecil Green Jr.
That's Bimini. A good name.
Yeah, Cecil. Good name, Cecil. Mm-hmm. And I was just going every day and being social, like row on social media and send out voice notes. And I just never thought nothing by it until persons need to do more. Then I've been getting a lot of calls on what you should talk about, or let's lead in this direction, or you could speak on this issue, or could I engage you for this? And so when I see it became so important, people were able to facilitate myself and other people. And that's why I got so deeply involved in the social media. I'm not a Facebook person in that sense. I mean, people post me a lot. The media, I mean, see me, they put a mic in my face. I give good commentary on matters, government matters, political matters. But WhatsApp was really the brainchild of what I've been doing. And it just propelled me because of the support of persons who listen to me and the fact that, when I sent something out, things were moving. And I got a lot of things done by advocating and by putting people on blast.
Let's talk about Grand Bahama now. I want you to describe Grand Bahama as a cultural place. When I say cultural place, the type of people who lives there. Then we move on to the economy, how you see it when you're growing up to how it is now. I'm trying to build up a case now, so that's what I'm doing now. Describe Grand Bahama, or what is Grand Bahama?
So you always hear about the Magic City as relates to the island of Grand Bahama. I would have born in that era. Don't mind me, I young. And so going to Port Lakaya on the weekends and seeing the marketplace excited with the dances and the activities and the amount of tourists and local Bahamians in the Port Lakaya marketplace and the shopping markets, the food store, the city of the downtown area for shopping, going on Discovery Sun on the holiday weekends or weekends, the traveling, West End being a center of local attraction, tourist attraction, with the nightlives and various things. The Grand Bahama, in my knowing, going in school and growing up, it was a busy island, and it was poised for greatness, and it was great at in the peak of the 80s or the 90s. And so there again came the hurricane of Frances and Jane. You've seen the hurricane of Wilma, and you saw the recession, and so all of that played a negative role in the downplay of the economy of Grand Bahama. You know, being from West Grand Bahama, not from Freeport proper, right? Mm-hmm. I lived there for a bit. You know, you're talking about strong, resilient people.
But let me pause you there. What's the difference between Freeport and West Grand Bahama?
Well, I tell you, I'm not from Freeport. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I'm from West End. And as you know, West End is the capital of Grand Bahama.
Few people know that.
Well, you know, when you refer to me from Freeport, I stop right there. I mm-hmm. say, now listen, if you say from Grand Bahama, I'll answer you. Mm-hmm. If you say Freeport, I'm not going to respond to you. Mm-hmm. I'm from West End. West End is the capital of Grand Bahama. Because why? It was the first of many things. You're talking about the factories, the airports, grocery stores, the church, business. As you remember, Freeport got developed in late or early 50s, 60s, thereabout. And so West End was the thing back in the day. You're talking about the old Jack Tower Hotel. So you always hear the stories of that community, West Grand Bahama, West End, being the mecca back in that day is for the economy of Grand Bahama. And so that's why I tell you, I'm from West End. But fast forward today, I can tell you, and you know, I spent a lot of time there. I spent about 4 or 5 months there during the election, going there every week, being there 4 times a week, staying there about a week of time. I can tell you, Siri, Nuri, this is Grand Bahama is seeing some of the best days they've seen in a long time. And you're also seeing an aggressive change in the environment to bring business to Grand Bahama.
You said there's movement in Grand Bahama?
There's movement in Grand Bahama. We have persons who do the doom and gloom and who run on in rhetoric all the time. But that's not gonna put bread on people's table. You've seen where the airport has been in the public domain. Other it's to, you know, why are we always talking about the airport?
Let's slow it down. What's wrong with the airport? And then tell me what the movement.
So, again, where the airport is situated, if you have to be factual, it's in a flood. It's also in a flood area. That airport has been when we had those massive hurricanes. Right now, I know there's a flood mitigation that's happening mm-hmm. with various companies to ensure that we prevent that from happening. Is it the ideal place at this time to keep it there? I don't know. I'm not the technocrats or the experts in that regard. But that's being done. The airport is open.
It's open?
It's open. You have flights. You could catch a flight directly from Miami or Fort Lauderdale or other places from Grand Bahama. You could catch domestic flights from here to Nassau, to Grand Bahama, elsewhere to Bimini. The government spent monies in terms of the refurbishing, the engaging staff and different things. So it's not open the way we want it to be open, where it should be.
Does it have free clearance?
No, it doesn't have that. It doesn't have free clearance. People have to come to Nassau to get free clearance to go elsewhere. And that's one of the main issues that the border protection, use border protection, we've talked about. And so, but it's open. It's not open to the airport of what we see in Nassau mm-hmm. or what we see in Abaco and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But the airport is functioning. Mm-hmm. It's not, people will tell you, like, it's not open. It's functioning. I could go there right now and fly to Bimini. Fly to Grand Bahama, fly to Nassau, fly to Grand Bahama. I could go there now, and if I have a visa, mm-hmm. travel from here to Miami for Lauderdale, etc. I could do that. Mm-hmm. So again, yes, it's a work in progress, and I believe you are seeing with the vision, with the government's vision, with the minister's vision, you're going to see that island. And I think between now and the next 2 years, even less, you're going to see Grand Bahama in the first circle you've never seen before.
What about the hospital? We're always hearing this negative talk about the hospital. Mm-hmm. Any movement for the hospital?
So, the newly built hospital is being constructed. You can ride down.
Have a hospital being built?
Yes, right now, right off the highway. If you get the East Sunrise Highway, before you get into the Lukaya, you know where that roundabout. If you go into Lukaya, if you're coming from east, mm-hmm. if you're on the highway and before you get to that roundabout, if you get that area, when you pass, you know where Les Fountain is?
Mm-hmm.
If you pass Les Fountain, I think it's a block down, you take a dirt road and you will see construction going up. A hospital is being constructed and being done. I would have seen the minister of health talked about the morgue or the conditions of the hospital that's being being done. You see now, Scenery, the doctor's hospital is also completing and building a hospital in Grand Bahama. Again, you know, medical and healthcare is not easy business. And we spend an exorbitant amount of millions of dollars every year to enhance and to bring relief to the issue of healthcare in this country. The Round Memorial Hospital, as you know, has been damaged every time a hurricane has hit that island. Governments have spent an exorbitant amount of money in refurbishing and renovating to enhance, especially the ER section. And so, again, the hospital is there. I cannot say that they don't have challenges, but I know it's open to the public.
I have a number of texts who talk about what about the hotel, where they say they sold. What happened to the hotel they say they sold?
So again, the hotel is sold. And as you know, I would have just seen the other day where RCI, the cruise company, were able to acquire the Xanadu Beach Hotel at Xanadu, a $30 million deal that will bring investment to that area. The hotel right now has a government appointee right now, I won't call her name, who is ensuring that all of the properties, materials and stuff are being secured. The government, the hotel owners gave a statement in the political season related to their involvement and the fact that they're still there on the ground. That is still live and well, and we're waiting on more particulars. But I'm of the view that by the end of the year, early this year, the hotel is going to open up.
Do you think it's going to
open up? I believe so. I'm of the view that with the because again, right, that place is mold infested, Niri. People don't know that. That place was mold infested, right? And I think that building is going to come down, right? Yes, the government would have closed it because now, you know, you have to close it in order for the investments to come in and do what they have to do. Persons were paid out. If there are still staff that who haven't received their full monies yet, then, of course, there's due course to deal with that. But I can tell you today that's being closed and work is being done and the hotel owners are preparing themselves to open an hotel.
I still have a telephone call here. But what you would say, because I have a lot of Texans who are really texting saying they live in Grand Bahama, they're challenging your narrative. They said it's rough in Grand Bahama. The first people living on the beach, it was a narrative.
And that's nonsense. That's
Grand
nonsense.
Bahama.
That is nonsense.
Women living on the beach in the
Nuri, let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you something.
You never heard that narrative?
Yes, I did. Every nightclub in Grand Bahama, Siri Nuri. Mm-hmm. Everyone. Nobody just opened the other day. Where the old Tim used to be. It's open. People are there. Working. Jobs are there. The employment is down. So what are they referring to? The government just ensured that they acquire the light company to bring relief to the rest of Grand Bahama. And we've seen living testimonies where that took place. So what are they referring to? And why are they still there things about Grand Bahama?
Why are they still there?
Why are they still there things about grandmama?
Let's go to the caller and have the caller put some questions to you.
Nonsense.
Also, go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. We're talking to advocates.
Guardian Radio AM. Good morning, C.A. Nuri, and to Mr. Richard Johnson.
Yeah. Good day, sir. How are you?
Mr. Richard Johnson. Sir, Grand Bahama should be proud of the way you're handling yourself this morning on this radio.
Thank you.
I got to nominate you to be the spokesperson for Grand Bahama. There are a lot of things that are happening in Grand Bahama. A lot of people in New Providence don't know about. And with you saying a lot of the stuff with the condition of the airport, a lot of people don't know that the airport was almost in a swamp.
Right.
Almost a swamp area.
That's what it is. Right,
the
exactly.
Building of the new hospital, the building of Doctors Hospital, the things that you're talking about in Grand Bahama. A lot of people in Nassau don't know of that, you know. But you know, CA, mm-hmm. Richard Johnson is a fearless person. He is not afraid of a lot of things. He stands up for his rights, and he stands up for people's rights from Grand Bahama, even people here in Nassau. And Mr. Richard Johnson is a good promoter. I saw the FNM had an event on the R. and Bailey Park. Mr. Richard Johnson had an event on Montague. And had three times as much people as with the FNM out on the R&B part.
Don't talk about
that. Listen to me, but let me say this in closing. Brother Johnson,
yes,
I got to leave my number with the producer. I need you to give me a call.
Yes, sir.
Because you're bragging now. You're from West End, this West End, that.
That's right.
You are one of your West End boys now. I don't want to promote his radio station on Guardian Radio.
Right.
But he has his own radio station now.
Okay.
And I need you to hook up with him.
Okay.
And share some of this West End thing with him. But
nope.
I'm going to leave. You should have my number, but I'm going to leave my number with the producer. I don't know if you know who you're talking to.
Yeah, I know, Julian. This is Julian.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But you should have a contact for me.
Yes. I will call you, Julian. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, we need to get, and we need to be hook up with our boy, Howard Mann.
Yes, man. He's a native of...
Yes, he
yes.
is. And he has the same passion that you have for Grand Bahama.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. But, Nuri, just before you go to come to me, you recall, if you don't know, the downtown area was a ghost town. Nothing was happening downtown in Freeport. And when Solomon's Fresh Market took over down the facility where they are now, the government said, listen, we want to put several government agencies in your building so we can then attract persons to the city, the downtown area. The government did that. Today, Nuri, downtown area, what was dead, you couldn't find a rat in there. Today, business are moving and people are trickling to downtown on a consistent basis because of why government facilities and government agencies' offices are downtown. That's vision. That's vision, Nuri.
If you ask my friends who live in Nassau, which island is the second city of the Bahamas, we no longer regard Grand Bahama as the second city.
Right.
They say, man, as Abaco, Exuma, or Eleuthera.
Right.
They say, things rough in Grand Bahama. They ain't producing like how they used to produce.
Right.
What would you say about that, and what can we do to help Grand Bahama?
Well, Nuri, that might be a fair statement, and that's debatable, because, again, you're talking about one thing we have to admit, that this current prime minister said this, and it was so important to me. He said, I had to go and look at the Port Authority, and I had to say, listen, I had to make a decision where I was going to business as usual, because they got to be under so much other prime ministers, or I was going to challenge the status quo. And the prime minister did that, Siri Nuri. I could tell you, a lot of the downfalls that happened right over the years was because of neglect of the Port Authority. And the government of the Bahamas today has held them accountable, and that's why the arbitration that outlines the responsibility that the Port Authority would have had to the people of Grand Bahama, Freeport proper. And so, again, that's the issue. And so, because we challenge them, we say you have to be accountable, you have to pay your monies, you fall down on the job, you owe us so much amount of money, we are telling you, and that's why the arbitration made it very, very clear, that the government of the Bahamas has the right to arrogate unto itself to make rules as Mr. Freeport proper. And I believe the principal owners of the Port Authority did a disservice to the Grand Bahama. When the government of the Bahamas continued to bail out. You talk about the bailout of the princess. You talk about the Fishing Old Road that was totally condemned. The PLP did that, Siri Nuri. You talk about the hotel here in Grand Bahama again. They had to buy that. They had to buy the hotel, they had to buy the airport to bring relief to Grand Bahama. And so why the big boys, the principal owners, or the hog makers, why didn't they own Grand Bahama when they was larger shareholders in Grand Bahama? Collecting dividends.
Let's go to the caller who's been waiting to address you to have a conversation with you. Go ahead, caller.
Pleasant. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning to you.
I would like to thank Grand Bahama for a few things. First of all, my son, my last son, was having problems with the air condition, the education system in New Providence, mixing up with the bad boys, we call them. And his grade had dropped very, very low compared to my family's standard. And we sent him up to the Grand Bahama, to friends of ours, to finish his high school. And he graduated from Grand Bahama Academy at 3.8 something. He's 32 now years old in Canada, studying to be a pilot at the big jets, first of all. Then Arthur and Otto Fountain at Les Fountain That's my first cousins. I'm 1 year older than them. Albert Miller and Ian Roll and Anya Roll, they are my cousins also. And I went up there during the magic city of Grand Bahama when I worked for Solomon Brothers at the International Bazaar, where we used to do the inventory for all Solomon stores, and stayed 1 week out of every month at the Islander Hotel across the road. So at that time, Grand Bahama was such a beautiful place with all the casinos, Islander International Bazaar, the Rec Bar across the road with Peter Pat and all of them. And on top of that, when I went to Grand Bahama, my daughter them took me up there for my son's graduation. When he saw me in the congregation, he ran down from the stage, hugged me, and cried, and said, thank you for sending him to Grand Bahama.
I appreciate that.
He was living up there with a policeman, and they belonged to the Seventh-day Adventists. I'm an Anglican, and you know how strict the Seventh-day Adventists are. What they eat, church on time, and school. So I would like to thank Grand Bahama, and I pray for Grand Bahama to get back the way it was. I wish you all luck. I wish Ian Roll, my cousin, with the Grand Bahama Port Authority, and all the Tony Miller and all of them will get their heads back together and bring the Magic City back.
Okay, and bring the Magic City back.
Grand Bahama's back.
I see I have another telephone call here. Uh-huh. But before we go to that telephone call, right, what are Grand Bahamians saying about the port and the port stands and the importance of having the port in Grand Bahama? There are some people who would say, lobby, mostly Nassau people, that the government needs to take over the port. Mm-hmm. Move all of these private entities out of the port, mm-hmm. out of Grand Bahama, and let government manage that area. Would you agree with that? Is that something what Grand Bahamians are saying also? Or you believe that the port can coexist with the government, cooperating with the government, right. and Grand Bahamians?
Well, unlike the leader of the opposition and his man, there's the bad fits. I'm of the view that the government of the Bahamas could find qualified people to run the daily operation of Grand Bahama. The government of the Bahamas could do it. As you see today, the Grand Bahama Power Company, the board was appointed, led by a competent businessman and lawyer, Paco Deal, and his team. Again, you know, we like to put on ourselves. But I believe, Nuri, that the Bahama Port Authority reign is over in Grand Bahama under this prime minister, because he's not going to allow a selective group of people to continue to believe that they are the God unto themselves as it comes to the business of Grand Bahama. It's wrong. And that's why I see, we've seen where the port and the government acquiring the GB Power and bringing relief to the light bills of relief to Grand Bahama, the businesses and homeowners, it shows to me, it demonstrates to me, Nuri, that is a move in the right direction. So again, there are some Grand Bahamians who believe the government shouldn't get involved. That's their view. Everyone has their own view. I'm of the view that the government of the Bahamas is competent to do it. Because again, we have demonstrated, the government has demonstrated just recently that they can do it.
Some people would say, I come to you right now, caller, that when you compare Freeport proper to West End, West End looked like under a tobacco dove underarm. Mm. It looked bad.
Right.
It looked rough.
Right.
It looked challenged. It looked like off a Crooked Island Street someplace. It ain't nice.
Don't talk about my hometown.
West End ain't look nice.
Don't talk about my hometown and like that. But I can tell you,
there are people who say, like, ask a question, like you were saying, there are people who saying that is government ran.
Right.
Versus the port ran.
Right, right.
And if you pushing the agenda that the government should run the port,
right,
is a doom thing for Grand Bahama. Right. They're scared.
Right. But see, they'll tell you that they were paying in Freeport proper, they have to pay for the garbage to be picked up. But what they didn't tell you was they were charging all of the residents of Grand Bahama's GB Power a storm recovery charge from Dorian. Siri Nuri, could you tell me when Dorian was?
That's about 7 years ago now.
Right. So they were still charging all of the consumers in Grand Bahama a storm recovery charge on people's light bill. And they could have varied from $7 to $10 every time your month bill come out. But hold on. The point is,
go ahead.
Today, that's off.
Mm-hmm.
That's off your light bill. So you can tell me now. You can tell me now. Listen, beautiful Grand Bahama. I must agree on this. Beautiful Grand Bahama that's led by Ginger Moxie and crew. Every time that I go home, I'm impressed by the way they keep upkeep West End proper and parts of West Grand Bahama. I can't speak to the other areas, but I can tell you beautiful Grand Bahama is a group of people by the hundreds who are cleaning up the areas that's bound to be cleaned up on a daily basis. And this thing just started, Nuri. This started now for the last 5-6 years. Okay? So I can tell you, yes, there's work to be done. Local government is in these areas in these areas where they have to also have a mandate to do some things, whether it's the bus stop, whether it's the verges, whether it's government buildings. So again, you have local government, you have beautiful Grand Bahama, you have the central government, all collectively is doing their part to ensure that those areas are well kept. Yes, we could debate, Nuri, that more has to be done. We have to inquire more. We have to do more. We have to ensure that the upkeep is better and it's up to the 21st century. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not. That it's okay. No, it's not.
Let's go to the callers now so they can engage you. We're talking to Richard Johnson, who's an advocate. He's out of Grand Bahama, but he's in Nassau, based in Nassau now, and he loves West End. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Caller, you there? Let's move on to the next caller there.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Go, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate you. Both. I want to say I'm thankful that relief is coming to the people in Grand Bahama, especially as you mentioned recently about the reduction of the utility bills, etc. One concern I do have, an observation I just made a while ago from the conversation, is that it was said that freedom of information. That's part of one. That's part of contention here. If we don't have freedom of information, and as simple as saying who is the new administrator or person in charge that was recently appointed, as Mr. Johnson mentioned, but he said all the name. I think that part is a little bit, if you want to call it, if not offensive, it's a little bit contradictory in terms of openness of government, because that employs and hire everyone. And as simple as a person who is hired, irrespective of who the person is, I don't think that it should be an information that should be private. So,
you're asking me to reveal the name of the person who was responsible for.
Yes. I mean, because it was mentioned.
Mm.
Because it was mentioned, and then he said, "I don't think I should mention."
No, I was only referring to, and I don't want you to make it sinister, please. I'm only referring to the fact that the hotel currently, right now, there is somebody who's being appointed by the Prime Minister to make sure that the surrounding areas, the stuff that were there, the hotel, old furniture, et cetera, that they are managed properly and well kept, because there was an issue regarding persons who were in management there doing some things otherwise. So I don't want to get into that. That's all I said. Yeah. That's not a policy decision or something for a national cry. So don't make it the same as that.
No. I'm not making it seem. But okay. Let me say, I just want the public to know that I'm a fan of the Prime Minister.
Okay.
Okay. It's not that I'm speaking to an opposition.
And I'm not a government official, by the way, and I don't speak on behalf of the PLP. Just let you know that.
Well, I'm calling on my own accord. I'm paying on my own.
Now, when you say that I'm not a government official and I do not speak on behalf of the government, nor the PLP.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a number of callers, but let me read some of these texts to you also. A general question: can Grand Bahama sustain two large hospitals? I question that, as we have seen, it takes one hurricane for investors to flee. All this positive blinders on, PLP-backed talk, ignoring real life existence existential risk is to our long-term detriment. I see more cruise ships exclusive enclaves popping up everywhere, while all economic activity is welcome, is going in the wrong direction for our local sustainability.
as a question or statement?
I guess it's a statement. But in terms of tourism, is Grand Bahama bouncing back?
Let me say this. I think with the Carnival Cruise that's there now, you're saying an investment, you're saying a good rapport in that regard. I think on the local side of it, these hotels, you talk about the Island Seas, or you talk about Obama Bay and Westin or other boutique hotels. I think they could speak for themselves. And so on, you know, Grand Bahama, again, you know, we're not saying that Grand Bahama is perfectly set where it is today. I'm saying today that Grand Bahama is back and things are in the move and progress is being made in Grand Bahama. That's what Richard Johnson is saying today.
Okay, let's go to the phone calls. We're talking to Richard Johnson, who's an advocate.
Right. Yes, and a Grand Bahaman.
And a Grand Bahaman, nationally acclaimed now. He's all over, popping up. Nowadays, he can't even walk places where the media not pushing a mic in front of his face to give commentary. So he is now established. People credit his commentary. He does the circuit. People invite him now to give his opinion. So he's invited today to give his opinion on what's happening in Grand Bahaman.
Appreciate that.
Right. Yes. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Caller, you there?
Hello.
Hello, you're live.
Mr. New, how are you doing?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
What's up, man? I think your guest is a bit naive.
Go ahead.
As to what Grand Bahama is. You know, now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but in about two decades, the port and Grand Bahama turns over into the hands of the government. Okay? It's the end of the 99-year lease thing, right? Now, at the present time, Grand Bahama is what we call a pre-constitutional entity. And the government speaks as if it has some kind of power. But it has no power. Now, Westin would have been a prime example of what the government could have done. You know, but if you juxtapose Westin, you know, what's happening in the East Grand Bahama and what's happening in the West Grand Bahama, there is no comparison, you know, regardless of what Mr. Johnson has to say. Now, we got to make up our minds as Bahamians in this country. You know, I know all this political stuff is basically a distraction. Now, Mr. Johnson is a PLT. You know, I think he used to be an FNM, you know. And, you know, we have the guys who switch sides when it's politically convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to get away from that if we are going to survive as a nation. Anyway, I'll be listening to what you're
Let me ask you a different question.
I'll respond to him.
And then you can respond to
all of that. I think he's naive.
No. Because the bigger question is his last statement.
Mm-hmm.
A number of my listening audience, I get some texts, right? Who's saying that you are a critic for hire, that you go back and forth, whatever for, right? And we're talking about Grand Bahama.
Right.
The question is, what I want to ask you, are you praising the government because you're on their side now?
Let me say this. I'm a Grand Bahaman at first, and I want to make that very clear. I'm a Bahaman as well. I don't need to come on this radio show, Nuri, and repeat and litigate this matter in the public domain as to why me and Richard Johnson, me and the FNM, you know, friends. Right? The world knows that. The dead know that and the living. So the point is, I'm a Grand Bahaman, and I'm because the Prime Minister and this government took on the big conglomerate. Listen to this now, Nuri. And that's why I wanted to call it. I seem naive calling it. Listen to this. This is the first time, Nuri. First time since Lyndon Binland, any prime minister took on the Port Authority. He not listening to that. So then the island Grand Bahama was suffering and they was getting away with nonsense. Who stood up against them? Not one. Not Perry Christie. Not Hubert Ingraham. Not Dr. Minnis. Philip Brave Davis. So yes, I'm satisfied. I'm happy that this government is doing it. And that's why the arbitration was very clear on where the government position is and where the Bahamian people stand. That's the facts I'm talking about. And so I can say today, with the acquiring of the hotel and the airport and the hospital and the jobs and the economy, I'm proud to defend the record of this government when it comes to the Port Authority and it comes to Grand Bahama, because under the former government, nothing happened. So I can brag about it. So that caller is naive and he's asinine.
Okay.
Let's
go to the next caller there. We have a number of people who challenge you via WhatsApp and calling.
That's fine. I'm ready.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Good morning, New York, good morning, Mr. Johnson. See, Alan Johnson.
Oh, go ahead. I think you're related.
I don't speak to him, honestly.
But let me see what he says.
I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him.
You don't got to respond to him.
Please. Right. I don't want to trip nothing to me. I don't have
to respond to the truth.
I don't have nothing from you. So don't even trip nothing to me. Right.
You don't have to, I don't have to speak to you. I'm speaking about...
Make it quick. Go ahead.
For 23 years, I've been calling radio stations, speaking with Grand Bahama. And the one thing people can say is, my position has never shifted. In fact, the government of the Bahamas spent $20 million, and the Port Authority spent about $18 million to arrive at a position that I've been advocating since 2003. Okay, so because I've said from then in my public thing, anyone in Grand Bahama could tell you that we should have gone to the 1994 agreement. And in fact, Mr. Brave Davis was part of the Perry Christie administration. Go listen to his contribution and his position against Mr. Gregory Morse, who was against the concessions that was given to the Grand Bahama Port Authority. It's the record is there in Parliament that this new position that he now has. But one of the most powerful things, and knew you could go and look at the medical clinic, and I could go there in the next minute and take a picture for you of all the things Mr. Johnson talked about and show you evidence, not what he says, evidence of what it is then and what it is now. I just sent you a thing. So here's the point. Now that we talk about the Grand Bahama Port Authority, the arrogance of ignorance still amazes me when it comes to it. The one thing about that ruling that nobody talks about is that it says that the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, which people who speak to it knows nothing about it, stands as it is. And in fact, all the 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 now free trade zone is modeled after the very thing that is there.
Okay. And I appreciate all of that. And I take the criticism. And one of the things that Richard Johnson mentioned, that this is the first prime minister to challenge the establishment. I acknowledge that a number of things that C. Alan Johnson mentioned, this administration has embraced perhaps and now carried it out. But finally, we get someone who is carrying it out instead of the previous administrations who did nothing. So I'm not looking for a person who want to be championed as the one responsible. But the idea that something... But I still say, Richard, it rough in Grand Bahama.
I don't respond to the nonsense that he speaks about every day, all right? He spew garbage every day. He believes he's the smartest thing on the earth. He is not. He is irrelevant.
He is smart.
To who?
Okay.
Who listens to him? He's an idiot.
No, Masi Allen is smart.
That's my point. Anyway, the point I'm making is, Nuri, is I, as a Grand Bahamian, I am excited, I am happy, and I believe and I know that things are there. Grand Bahama is back, and this government is leading that charge in a very, very positive way. And the naysayers will see it. It was just demonstrated in the light bills the other day. And why we can't talk about that? Why no member of parliament for East Grand Bahama, Marco City, and Marco City, East Grand Bahama, East Grand Marcos and Central Grand Mama, why didn't get up and thank the government? Because their constituents, who are FNM, BLB, and COI, can say that their light bills, this is the best they've seen their light bills. And yes, we must not talk about that. That's intangible.
We can talk about that. The phones are lit. I have at least 6 callers online. We're going to take this quick commercial break, and we'll have these callers engage Richard Johnson on his next side of the show. Guardian Radio AM, CA Nuri, we'll be right back.
Call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Guess who's back?
It's the time again for the 31st annual Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Bring it on now. Let's go.
Whether you're a player or a fan, you don't want to miss this one. The action starts July 13th at the Hope Center. Log on to peaceonthestreets.com and register.
Come on, everybody. Let's go.
That's the Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic,
where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Game time.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Before you respond, Richard, let's go to this caller who's been holding for a while, trying to make sure I ever get included. If you're on and want to talk now, time to call now so I can squeeze you in for your 30 seconds. I encourage you now as we conclude with Richard Johnson. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Call you
hey,
there.
Julie.
Hey.
Yeah, Richard. The arithmetic is that $130 million spent for the Port Authority have to be, the payment has is coming and reducing the payments for a citizen of Grand Bahama is a good thing, but that has to be paid. Now, how did it happen so miraculously? CA said that $18 million was spent on one side and $20 million was spent, and they came to what he had concluded based on the 1994 Port Authority in arbitration. If he said that and that's what they said, then that's a fact that happened, and it made no
because
sense.
Because Siri Nuri said it makes it right? I mean, sorry, C. Allen Johnson, as you telling me?
That's what he said.
No. You telling me I must listen because he said I must. That might be right. I must. That's what you telling me.
Be quiet.
No. Tell me. All right, a big run, man. Don't do it. Don't let me be quiet. Don't mix me up.
My lines are full.
Don't mix me up.
Let me get to the next caller.
Don't mix me up. I child.
Let me get to the next caller there.
Good.
Go ahead, caller. Guiding Rear AM. You live.
Hello.
Hello. You live.
I am just calling from Nassau, Bahamas, to say to Mr. Richard Johnson that he is not able to drag the shoes that Alan Johnson has left behind.
I won't drag it because I ain't never been to jail, so I don't want to drag it. No, ma'am.
Okay, let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you're live.
I was waiting on Mr. Johnson's question, right? But, you know, his idea that people are going to be satisfied with a reduction in the light bill and the future is looming. Let me say, understand something, Mr. Johnson. You need to see, you speak of somebody like C. Allen Johnson in that tone that you spoke.
Sir, I'm not, again, I'm a guest here. I'm a guest here. I don't care nothing of C. Allen Johnson. That's my opinion. That's my view. You don't like it? That's your business. But no one can tell me what I feel about C. Allen Johnson or my views. All right? Nobody.
Okay.
So let me also say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to try to talk down or to diminish the fact that this light bill going to Grand Bahama or GB Power being acquired by the government is nothing significant. When people in Grand Bahama for years, Nuri, had to choose whether they're paying light bill or mortgage or rent or medical bill because it's so high, you will tell me that ain't nothing significant. I must not doubt that. And I can tell you today, I can tell you that the people in Grand Bahama pay light bills three times more in Grand Bahama than elsewhere, in Nassau and elsewhere in the Bahamas. And that ain't nothing significant. That ain't nothing significant. You're talking garbage. You're talking garbage. Pure garbage.
Let's go to this next caller who wants to address you. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Caller, you there?
Good name is Hilary.
You know what I mean? I'm here. Go loud and clear. Go ahead.
Good name is Johnson.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm wonderful. I'm Mr. Johnson. What is this? You know, we need people in this country to fight for people from a family island like that. And Mr. Johnson, continue to fight for Grand Bahama. They should be grateful that someone like you. Thank you much.
Thank you, caller. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Very much.
Yeah, you understand it. You know, your light bill is going down, Nuri. You just the least light bill you pay in some 20, 30 years. 10 years, 30 years, 20 years. And you gonna tell me the Davis-led government took over the power company and bring y'all on rate on power with elsewhere in the Bahamas. And you can tell me that ain't significant?
Yeah.
You got to be crazy.
Let's go to this next caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. That's Richard Johnson making a noise in the background. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Guys.
Good morning. How you doing?
Morning.
You know, it's too much negativity in this country at this time. The election is over. And C. Nuri, at the end of the day, we must agree. It's time for the poor to leave.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
How could you, like, prime example, how could you be putting ordinance on persons in Freeport for unkept properties when the road to get to the property is unkept?
Right.
Huh?
Talk that.
How is that possible? And then nobody must say anything? But C. Allendos need to stop. He has to understand the election is over. You got another 5.5 more years of this government. So let's try to help the government through whatever we need to assist them in order to assist people in those different islands. Okay? Have a nice day.
And you see that again. That caller made a valid point, Nuri, when you talk about paying for properties and uncapped properties and so forth. You're talking about Grand Bahama infrastructure in the city of Freeport right now. The roads, and it is the worst it's ever been. It's terrible. So why are they talking about that? Why are the people who call and yet defend the Port Authority don't talk about the way they have back to grandma all these years?
That's something to talk about.
Okay, all right then.
Let's go to the next caller. Guiding Radio AM, you live. Let's go to the next one. Guiding Radio AM, you live.
Hold on.
Hey.
Man, I really had to call back. Calling back. Johnson.
Yay.
That's C. Allen Johnson. C. Allen Johnson can't even win a popcorn fight.
No.
He run with Greg Moss, get almost killing there. He run for local government, almost get killing. C. Allen Johnson can't win none, but he's the smartest man in the world. But you know what he missed? He thought the FNM could have win, and they would have put him in the Senate. That's what he's hoping for.
He ain't going to see that Senate. Unless he right past that. It. Yeah.
He wouldn't even watch it on TV because they ain't bringing it on TV now.
Thank you very much.
Right, but C. Allen Johnson, like you say, he believes he's the smartest man in the world.
Yes, yes.
And he always talking these funny big talk to try scare people around to make people believe he's smart.
Right.
But it's nothing to him. He's just I want to say something.
You can't say it on air.
Let me run through these texts because it's the end of the show now.
Thank you.
Says, okay, thank you very much again.
Good to be here.
Richard, for coming in. Uh-huh. Let me run through these texts. It says, your guest is going to have a health event.
No.
I heard that phrase before.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want to say. I ain't going nowhere before my time. Probably they don't have none.
Say, please rephrase it and say, tell your guests to calm down. It says, Mr. Nuri, I'm convinced that people who have issues with the lower electricity bills in Grand Bahama hate progress. That could be something there. It says, CA, my goodness, what a piece of work, washerwoman. I'm not sure what they mean by that. Next text says, in Grand Bahama, and I don't know of where he speaks. Mm-hmm. Next text says, I'm glad he revealed himself to the entire nation. The next text says, okay, this is the next one. Let's see. Smart dude, cut the crap. This is the next text.
The careless.
Okay. Richard Johnson is, no, I can't read that. Yeah, praising Brave for low light bill in G. A New Providence light bill hiking up every month. Tell him, talk about that. I know if Nassau light bill hiking up.
But not Max. Yeah. But let me say this on the wrap up, but I'm going to thank you, CNOE, for having me, for coming here. I want to say, as a Grand Bahamian, I'm excited that things are on the move in Grand Bahama. CNOE, I want you to come to Grand Bahama. You land at the airport. I will take you to the old Princess Hotel, the bazaar. You'll see construction going on there. I will take you in the Mall Drive. You'll see construction being done. I will take you down further the Mall Drive. You'll see the hospital being completed. I will take you on East West Highway, Adway, where construction is being done. I will take you throughout the drive of Grand Bahama as the progress is being made. We're not talking about the naysayers. Grand Bahama is back.
Grand Bahama is back. If you want to sponsor the show, call, man. Let me get to sponsor the show and bring you on the show and talk. We can talk whatever you want to talk. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.